Friends, if you would, turn in the Bibles that are right there in front of you, if you wish, to page 81. I'll be preaching out of Exodus chapter 33 today. And there in Exodus chapter 33, we find that this is shortly after the Lord has given the Ten Commandments. And the family of God, the nation of Israel, is at the base of Mount Sinai. And God is telling Moses, okay, it's time for y'all to pack up shop. It's time for y'all to head out of Sinai. And so he does so. And in so doing, we find this conversation between Moses and God. And I want you to listen to what that says there in Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and I've also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? And so we shall be separate people. We shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Moses said to God, please show me your glory. And then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, to me, this is a really interesting passage. I'm a little bit shocked by the boldness of Moses in asking God Almighty to show Moses his glory. Can you imagine that? I mean, my first reaction is either Moses has got a lot of courage or Moses has gone nuts. Boy, it's got to be crazy. And my second reaction is, just who does Moses think that he is? Asking God to show him his glory. I'd never do anything like that, right? You'd never do anything like that, would you? I think we do that. And actually, we do that quite often. We may not say it, but I think we often think it. And it may go like this. God, show yourself to me. If you would just let me win that billion-dollar lottery, then I'd know that you're really God. God, just touch me and make me instantly pure and holy so that I would never think an evil thought or say a bad word again. God, just show yourself to me, and I'd be the boldest witness in the whole world. God, just heal all the people on our prayer list, and then I'd know that you're really God. God, show me a miracle, and I'd never doubt you ever again. Boy, how strong would our faith be if we could just catch a glimpse of the glory of God, and then we'd know for sure that God is really real. But when Moses said something like that to God himself, God says, Moses, there's one thing that we have to get straight first. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. We need to get this straight. I'm going to do this my way, not yours. And then God said, I'm going to pass before you. But Moses, you ain't ready to see it all. And so here's a rock. And I want you to stand here by the rock. And Moses, I want you to get ready. And at the moment that I pass by, I'm going to place you in a crevice of this rock. And I'm going to cover your view with my hand. And once I pass by, I will remove my hand so that you will see my back. But listen, you ain't ready to see all my glory. You ain't ready to see my face, because no one can see my face and live. Friends, that little passage tells us a whole lot about how God reveals himself even to us today. First of all, it says something about the fact that God passes so near sometimes you can actually feel his presence. At other times, you are absolutely sure, man, God's got to be here. And yet at the same time, y'all, there is this dimension to God that we will never be able to see, never be able to understand, never be able to comprehend on this side of heaven. Y'all, did you know that the Pacific Ocean is 66 million square miles? 66 million square miles. Can you even comprehend that? Our understanding of God is a little bit like our understanding of the Pacific Ocean. We know the ocean, but there's no way for us to comprehend the vastness of the ocean. Oceanographers have been working for years to try to discover all that there is to know about the Pacific Ocean, and they still don't have a clue. There's a part of the ocean that washes up on the sands of our lives. We can feel it. We can sense it. We know it's there. We can bathe in it. The waves kind of lull us to sleep. You ever gone down to the beach and opened up your sliding glass window and just listened to the waves at night? And yet, we know a very small part of all there is to know about the ocean. And it's the same way with God, isn't it? Think about it. God comes so close at times that we feel we can just kind of reach out and touch him. And yet God is so magnificent, we'll never comprehend all of him. Friends, today I want to point out to you just how near God is in ways that you probably haven't thought of before. I want to share five areas where we today can sense the nearness and sense the glory of Almighty God. The first one is a little bit obvious because God is near in nature. Every day that you wake up, we all see God in the nature that surrounds us. And there are many passages in the Bible that speak to this, and I want to share a couple familiar ones with you from the book of Psalms. The first one comes from Psalm 8 and verse 3, where the psalmist says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." I kind of picture the psalmist setting out on a moonlit night, and he's staring up at the sky, and he experiences the serenity of the evening, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes up to him and says, that's me. What you're seeing, that's me. I have created the heavens. I have placed the moon and each star in its place. And then there's Psalm 19 in verse 1. And we find similar words where the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth his speech. Night after night, they display his knowledge. What the psalmist is saying there is whenever you look into the heavens, you see the glory of God. That is the glory of God being manifest for you. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. A couple of days ago, I took Twink for a walk. Y'all know who Twink is? Twink is my dog, a little white dog. And every morning at 6 o'clock, you got to take Twink for a walk. Anyway, there was one little rain cloud up in the sky, and me and Twink are walking. We always walk due east first, so you know what I get to see at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? Every morning I get to see the sun rise. The sky is proclaiming the glory of God. But it was on the way back, heading west, that God had provided this rainbow. Sun is shining like crazy. But through this one rain cloud, God had provided a rainbow. And I was convinced, man, I'll bet you, Lord, that nobody else on this planet has seen it but me and Twink. I bet this was for us. This was a gift to me to remind me of the covenant you've made with people. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. Then I get back into the house, and I go on Facebook, and I find everybody's posting pictures of the stinking rainbow. And I said, God, I thought it was for me. And everybody else thought it was for them too. The skies proclaiming the glory of God. Day after day, God speaks to us. Night after night, he reveals his glory to us. The problem is that we often miss it. We often overlook it, or we often dismiss it. Now listen to these words in Job chapter 12. Job says, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds of the air and they will tell you. Speak to the earth and it will teach you, and let the fish of the sea inform you. Who of all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Animals. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Y'all ready? Take a deep breath with me. That one could have been your last. Are you prepared for what comes after? So maybe we can't see God's face. Maybe we can't know all the vastness of God, but he's there nonetheless. We just need to see him. We need to recognize him, and we need to acknowledge him in nature. So friends, I want to encourage you today, take time to look around. Get up. Come take my dog for a walk. Amen. Look around. Open your eyes. Feel the presence of God that surrounds you every single day of your life right there in nature. But God is also near in what I refer to as the order of life. We can see and we can experience God in the normal, natural, everyday order of life. You see, God has placed in place rules and regulations for people to follow. Like it or not, you and I have rules to follow. They've always been there, and they will always be there. For example, God says, whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. He also says, you can be sure that your sin will find you out. You see, these things are just facts of life. There are certain rules and regulations which God has ordained that govern the way we live. But the world today tries to defy the rules of God. The world we live in tries to defy the regulations of God that He's given us to govern the way that we live. They say things like this: nah, we're going to live our way. They say, I don't believe in God, and therefore I don't have to abide by His word. That's what some of them say. But listen to me, regardless of how you live, regardless of what you believe, God's moral order stays in place, and man is powerless to change it, whether you believe or whether you don't. So regardless of what you believe, you will still reap what you sow. Regardless of how you live, you will still harvest the results of your sin. There's no way out. Sooner or later, your sin will catch up with you if you stay in it. And every time that we see a person suffering because they have defied the rules of God, we're reminded, once again, that God has a moral order in place and expects us to follow it. It's there, and nobody in this room can change it. And God says, I want you to know that there's also a flip side to this coin. There's a flip side, because if you sow good seed, do you know what you're going to reap? A good crop. So the flip side is true also. You see, God formed you, God created you, and God knows you inside and out. And He tells you, listen, my kids, living a blessed life is not rocket science. I have not made it difficult. It's kind of a simple idea. Just because it's simple doesn't make it easy, but it's a simple idea. God says, because I am the manufacturer, because I am the creator of you, if you will follow the rules found in the book of instruction, you will have a blessed life. It's pretty simple, but following those rules sometimes can be difficult. God says, listen, if you'll live life the way that I have designed it, you will find that things will go much, much better for you. And if you don't, and you try to counter the moral order of life that I have placed in place, then you're going to have difficulty. Friends, I believe that the order of life is a testimony of the nearness and the glory of God. But there's more, because God is also near when His people worship Him. I pray that through the course of our worship services over the past months and years, you have felt the Lord's nearness in your life. And I say, you should, because I got news for you. He's been here. God's been near. So if you hadn't felt it, it wasn't His fault. Amen? Maybe it was yours. We know that He's here. We know that He's here because God promised that He would be here. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So friend, think about this. God is here today. God is here today. He honors us with His presence today. Do you feel Him? Do you feel the presence of God here today? Whenever His people come together to worship, He's always near. Do you realize what a blessing it is for us to gather week after week in the name of Jesus? Do you realize what a blessing it is to enjoy the fellowship of like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you realize, friend, what a blessing it is to enjoy nourishment that comes from the Word of God? Do you realize what a blessing it is to enjoy times of praise and worship and life change, and to do it when we come together, and to have the Lord honor us, to have Him honor us with His presence? It's almost more than I can bear. See, there are times when God comes so close in the course of our worship services, it's almost like you can reach out and touch Him. You may not see His face, friend, but He's there. He is there, and you can feel the wind of His presence. You can hear the whisper of His voice as He passes by. As long as you're paying attention. As long as you're here to worship Him. If you're here for any other reason, you might as well forget it. And friend, that is why you should never, ever be able to leave this place unchanged. Because whatever and whoever that God encounters, He changes. You can't help it. If you come here and you encounter the Lord God Almighty, you're going to be changed. And you're going to be changed for the better. So what change needs to occur in your life today? Has the Lord impressed that upon you yet? Don't worry, you still got about 20 minutes. God reveals His presence not only in the nature that surrounds us, not only in the normal everyday order of life, not only when God's people come to worship, but God is also near when His people serve Him. There are certainly times when we experience the presence of God, when we see His people serving the way He designed us to serve. How many of you know that you were designed to serve? You were saved to serve. That's why you're still here, is to serve God Almighty and to serve your fellow man and woman. We experience it every week as God's people gather in this building. They come to gather, but they come to gather for one purpose, and that is to join forces in honoring the Father, glorifying the Son, and doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It happens every Sunday, y'all. But if you've come here for any other reason, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. We also feel the Lord's presence when we share our faith outside these walls. You'll feel the Lord's presence if you pray for someone outside these walls. It's easy to pray inside the walls, you see. But if you pray for somebody outside these walls, now you're going to feel the Lord's presence. You'll feel the Lord's presence if you, in Jesus' name, strive to set out and encourage somebody in Jesus' name. You will feel the Lord's presence, friend, if you go and intentionally visit someone in need in the name of Jesus. Again, outside these walls. And if you've never felt the Lord's presence, you say, Bill, I just don't know what that feels like. I've never experienced that. Then I'm going to tell you how you can do it right today. If you've never felt the Lord's presence, I urge you to go and pray with someone outside these walls. Somebody says, man, put me on your prayer list. I say, I'll do better than that. Let's pray right now. If you've never felt the Lord's presence, I urge you to go and visit the residents of a nursing home in Jesus' name. Many of those folks are hungry for just some company, just a visit, just a little bit of love. If you've never felt the Lord's presence, give that one a try. Friend, if you've never felt the Lord's presence, I want to encourage you to share the story of how you came to Jesus with somebody. You do that, And I'm guaranteeing you now, as strong as I'm standing here right now, that the Lord will be right there present with you as you share your story, your testimony of how you came to Jesus. Listen to me very carefully, friends. If you will, you will. If you will do these things, you will feel the Lord's presence. The rest is up to you. But what about those people that come here on a Wednesday? They come to share their time and their talents, their sanity. Somebody say amen. But they come here for one reason, and that is to serve the Lord. And they come and they serve in the children's ministry. That'll drive you crazy sometimes. Or worse, serve in the youth ministry. That'll really drive you crazy sometimes, right, sis? What about if you're trying to cook and serve for over 100 people? Don't even get me started on that, Amanda Hughes. You hear what I'm talking about? Anita, where you at? Where's Anita? There's Anita. Cooking and serving for 100 people? Are you kidding me right now? And then Don brings up the end and brings a delicious dessert every week. Serving. You think the Lord is present in that? That sacrifice of time, effort, and sanity? Yeah. What about if they're preparing a Bible study after a long day's work? I bet they really feel like doing that. But when the Lord's present, it can happen. It's ministry. I wonder if those people who come and serve on a Wednesday, I wonder if they feel the Lord's presence. You better believe it. I wonder if it requires sacrifice. You better believe it. But how about when a young person in that service or on that day comes up to you and says, "How do I get saved?" You reckon the Lord's present then? That wasn't your dynamic personality that brought that young person to you. That was the Holy Spirit of God. It's glorious when we witness the church function like it was designed to function. It's incredible. And when it does, we sure do feel the presence of God in this place. But God is also near in the daily lives of his people. I think that it is wonderful when we witness people living a faithful life outside of church. We expect it inside of church, right? But when you see it outside, it's just extra special because they're doing it exclusively for the glory of God. Now, I just got to tell you, most of my favorite people are in this building right now. Y'all are amazing. I love my peeps, amen. Y'all are amazing. And when I look into your face, and I see the joy that can only come from people who are experiencing the presence of God, man, I just got to say, I thank you for that. When I look into your eyes and I see that sparkle of Jesus, and I see that desire for you to strive to live your life faithfully, man, can I just say thank you for that? When I come here and I see you, I know God is alive, and I know God is near, and I'm thankful. See, parts of God are so vast, so overwhelming, we'll never completely understand him. And yet, he is so near, we can't help but feel his nearness. But God says, there's more, much much more. And I want you to experience more and more of my presence. I ain't done with you yet. I want you to experience more. More of my glory. You know, Jesus stood before the world, a world that was missing God. And they looked at Jesus and they basically asked him the same thing that Moses asked God that day. Show us your glory. Show us the Father, and then we'll believe. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we read in the New Testament about God becoming flesh. We read in the Bible about Jesus breathing our air, eating our food, experiencing our temptations. We read about the concerns of Jesus for the lost. We read of how Jesus is concerned for the sick and for the hungry and for the poor. And as we learn more and more and more about Jesus, we learn more and more and more about God. Have you ever heard, you are what you eat? Now somebody would look at me and say, well, Brother Bill is what he eats, then how come he don't look a whole lot more like banana pudding? You are what you eat, but more specifically, it's true that you become what you partake of. Are you hearing me? You become what you partake of. And today, I want to challenge you to live on more Jesus. I want to challenge you, friend, to make Jesus your only food. I want to challenge you to feast on his love, feed on his goodness, feed on his mercy, feed on the power of God to make changes in your life that will bring him much glory. Because, friend, if you'll partake only of what is good and holy, then that you will become. Did you hear me? If you'll partake only of what is good and holy, that you will become. His nature will then become your nature. And that's the goal of the Christian life. But you are what you eat. And you do what you eat. How do you know, Bill? Well, I was reminded of it in Psalm 34, verse 8, when David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Boy, he tastes good. Blessed is the Lord who trusts in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And then Jesus followed up in John chapter 6, and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Y'all hear that? That's straightforward. He who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, of which I shall give for the life of the world. I know that we can't see the face of God yet. We can feel his presence. I want you to stand right now here in the presence of God. And as you do that and get ready, I want you to realize something for me. I want you to realize just for a moment just how privileged we are. Realize just how privileged we are to even catch a glimpse of God. That's what happened to Moses that day. He just caught a glimpse. Today, you likewise. You've caught a glimpse. And if you caught a glimpse, it ought to change your life. I know we can't see his face, but one day, and one day very soon, friend, you're going to look square in the eyes of God. When you do, you're going to see God in all his glory. Are you ready for that day? Friend, are you prepared for that day when you look into the eyes of God and see him in all his glory? See, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And the only way that you can be prepared is by putting your faith in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so today, you need to evaluate your life and make the changes that God can make in you. Let me pray for you. Father God, it's just amazing that you would even want to save the likes of us. I know how I can be, and I've seen how other people can be. So Lord, I'm thankful that you've also shown me how you can be. Forgiving, merciful, compassionate, and desiring an intimate relationship with us that is like no other. Father, thank you for giving us a glimpse today. Thank you for showing us just a little bit of who you are and how much you love us. Father, if there's someone here that needs to make that ultimate change in their life today, Father, I pray they would be willing to just take a step of faith, come forward. I will share with them clearly what the Bible says about how all have sinned and fallen short of glory. Lord, I will share with them, Lord, that there are consequences to those sins, and the wages of those sins is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I will share with them that you did it because you love us, and you showed your love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For it is by grace, through faith, by grace, through faith, that we are saved. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And Father, if we are willing to confess with our mouth that we are no longer the Lord of our lives, that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, if we can bring ourselves to believe that God raised him from the dead, then the Bible is clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you will be saved. I want everybody I know to be saved from the penalty of sin. And if there's one here today, Father, we invite them and we want to encourage them to come to be saved from the penalty of sin. And Lord, we'll do everything in our power to disciple them and help them to grow their relationship with you. That's why we're still here, to help our brothers and sisters. So Lord, you do what only you can do. Father, we pray that you're brought much glory as a result of how people changed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.